This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was The Beatles by Till There Was You. You're with Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. And our young people, millennials and Gen Zs, they don't have a lot of money. So they're thinking of a lot of creative ways to save money. And some of them actually try to supercharge their money-making abilities, but you know, the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. They work very, very hard while they're young, and then they retire at 35 or something with millions of dollars. That's not always possible. So there are other ways to save money, and Mum, your mother, would give you some good advice on how to save money, right? And here are seven dishes, according to the Rakyat Post, seven dishes that you should never order when you're out with your friends at the Mama or whatever.
But do you think millennials are really the best when it comes to saving money, Julian? Because
they don't have money to save.
No, but then I also noticed, okay, maybe it's not fair and it's not a good observation, but most of the people that order food tend to be millennials or Gen Zs.
Yes.
Because older people, it's not such a common habit.
You know why?
We would go to the coffee shop and tapao if we wanted some food, right, to take away.
You know why? Because
why?
They don't know how to cook.
They don't know how to cook, okay.
Not yet, at least.
Or maybe technology is so easy for them. You know, they just like switch on the apps and then they have like the Grab Food and the Food Panda. Whereas I know how to use it, but I somehow resist using it.
I do too, because you can just walk out and then you can exercise at the same time and save $5 of food delivery charges. So I'd rather do that, actually, just walking out and get my food.
Same here. I mean, sometimes I do this like little bit of my observation and I ask like some of the people in the office, oh, you ordered this, how much was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, oh, butter chicken, $12. Then I look at the person next to me who has gone out to tapao, right, from the Malay store, and I said, how much is that? And then they're like $6, and the $6 meal invariably is much bigger and a lot more food than the $12 butter chicken that came from food delivery company ABC. So I think there's always ways to save money. Of course, when you use this food delivery service, you're paying for the service, the convenience of it being delivered to you.
Yeah, you're paying for your laziness, basically.
Yes, you are. But I mean, this Rakyat Post has some practical tips. And when I look at the seven dishes, some of it makes sense. I mean, for example, okay, kaya and butter toast. Why would you pay for that? That's one of the easiest things in the world to make.
Yeah, right? Whether you're at home or in the office, all you need is to buy a can of kaya, or if you're more hardworking, make your own at home and bring it to the office, store it in the fridge, buy some butter and toast it.
Yeah, a loaf of bread, how much is that? It's like 2+ ringgit.
Pennies.
Yeah. A whole loaf has 12 slices. You can eat it over 3-4 days.
Share it with your colleagues.
Share it with your colleagues. This is definitely one way to save money, kaya and butter toast.
Yeah.
Then there's porridge. Okay, this is another very easy dish to make at home, right? Especially if you have a slow cooker or a pressure cooker. You could just throw everything in, forget about it. In 1 hour, you have porridge. And it costs almost nothing. Although
the porridge I make has, you got to stand there and look at it, you know, for a few hours.
Yours is the atas type
but
of porridge.
Don't go for that, right? It's actually very, very easy to make. Just rice and a lot of water and perhaps even your own preferred flavoring.
Yeah, chicken, whatever, put some meat in, you know. Another one on this list, soup. Which is also true if you have a slow cooker or a pressure cooker. Maybe this one a little bit more work, lah.
Not really. You just chop some onions, tomatoes, potatoes, carrots, and a meat of your choice, and voila, you have it. You know, 8 hours later, that thing is cooking in the slow cooker, and you're back from work and you have it.
That's true.
It's a meal.
Okay, the one that I find most divisive in that, you know, we've discussed is Maggi at Mama's. Now, one of the producers is like, how can you say that? Maggi at Mama's is the best. You know, why should you cook it at home? It just tastes very different, you know. Even if you save money, we can't replicate this taste. What do you think?
You know, you got to separate this between Mama Maggi as a social food and Mama Maggi as nourishment, which is it's not, right? Because there's nothing in there.
There's some carbohydrate.
Yeah. No nutrients in there. There might be some minerals. But it's a social food. You go out there and you know, this is always the default thing to order, Maggi Mee and Mama, whether it's fried or with soup.
Yeah. Okay, fried, I think, is maybe worth it because I cannot fry, I would admit, the Maggi Mee as well as a Mama. No way. But maybe the soup, which I also really enjoy, is something you can replicate at home. And maybe even
you can
soup
do a
it
better
up.
One.
Yeah, you can soup it up because you can put a million things in it, like eggs, meat, vegetables, and then voila, it's a whole meal, right? But the fried one, I have to say, these mamak guys do it really well. And like, it's something I'm prepared to pay.
I think there's a kind of food that you eat after clubbing, right? You come clubbing at 2 a.m. in the morning and you go to the mamak. This is great.
It's like
this
a
is
heavy
great clubbing,
yeah,
post clubbing food. But you know, you can combine this with a soup that you've boiled. I mean, it's so good to just use that stock and cook your mama. It's going to be delicious. And the other one is actually pasta. I mean, pasta to me is very, very easy because you can get that jar of pasta sauce from the supermarket shelf and you do it at home. It'd be much, much cheaper, right? Probably one third the price of what you pay outside.
Definitely. And the last one I like is the omelette. That one I so agree because eggs are one of the easiest things to cook. I mean, a tray of eggs, 5.30 if you buy the high class.
¥5.30?
Yep, ¥5.30. No, yes, if you buy the ones with the omega, yolk and all that. If you really want to be cheapo, you can buy the $3.90 one. That's even cheaper. Crack 3 eggs, okay? Less than $2, put some milk, fry the egg.
Chinchalok.
Your cost is only $3. Why do you need to order this in? You can even do it in the microwave, you know.
A fried omelette in microwave?
Well,
okay.
Like a scrambled version.
Your skill is definitely much higher than mine, Xiaomi.
Well, we're always trying to find ways to save money, right?
All right, tell us how you can save a lot of money by cooking at home or eating at home, and what kind of foods that you would not order while you're outside. We'd like to hear from you. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, and we'll be back with more discussion. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Morning Run. Julian and Xiaoning with you. And that was Blur with There's No Other Way. And we are asking the question of whether Uber or Grab is making life easier for gig workers. An Uber driver in London is saying that on average, he used to work 6 to 8 hours, 6 days a week to provide for his family a few years ago. And now he's working 10 to 12 hours just to put food on the table. So this has put companies like Uber in the spotlight for regulatory scrutiny. In particular, the government in the UK is asking whether Uber employees are workers or are they employees?
Yeah, I mean, this is on the back of the news, so that actually whether Uber will get its license to operate in London on the 24th of November. I mean, this debate in UK has been going on for at least a year or two, whether it should be licensed. But and this is an article in the BBC. But what I find most interesting about it, or sad, depending on how you look at it, is that they interviewed this driver. Like you said, he works 10 to 12 hours a day. And he said that my family depends on the algorithm, he explains. Sometimes it's scary, but if it was fair, it would be okay. Because, yeah, how do you... Nobody really knows what goes behind the Uber system, right?
Yeah.
How many rides a day you get? What kind of fare does it charge? Can you get more rides? Should you get more rides? Are you being fairly treated? None of this is explained or told to you. I mean, compared to, in a more traditional job, these questions don't exist so much.
I think the unsaid thing here is that at the end of the day, it's not really the algorithms. It's really us, right, as consumers. Because consumers always want it cheap. And all these tech companies, they have the capabilities to find the best way from point A to point Z with its cheapness.
Yeah, but they're also, most of them, I mean, these internet companies or app companies, let's face it, what is their mantra? Their mantra is maximizing value, isn't it? Because most of them want an exit
Absolutely.
Plan. They want to go for a listing. They want their cost to be as cheap as possible. They ideally would, I mean, none of them, ideally would like to show a profit as soon as possible. But at whose cost? Yet there is this pressure from consumers for prices to be as cheap as possible. So
I mean,
the middle guy gets squeezed, right?
They've been giving free for a long time, promos and free. A lot of companies are still giving things out for free. Like Google has been giving out all their apps, the email apps and so on for free. And they are now beginning to make noises about charging you for using some of the service. Although not a lot of money, but that a free product environment is coming to an end as well. So I think that we've come to a point in time where this is like, you know, in the early days of the Industrial Revolution is all about how you really screw up the employees just to make the profits, right? Because conditions, working conditions in those days were very bad. So the question is, even if today a Grab driver or an Uber driver is, so to speak, going into this on their own volition, setting up their own business, actually, is that true? The question is that true? Because it's correct to ask that question whether they should have more rights.
So, in other words, we are almost repeating the dire working conditions of the 19th century.
Yes.
Except that it's not in a coal mine or in a factory.
It's right in the comfort of your own car.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing about this article is that they actually revealed a study co-authored by researchers at Oxford University and Uber. And now, this is the other thing I find interesting. So, the paper claims that Uber drivers had higher levels of life satisfaction than other workers, but also higher anxiety levels. So maybe these apps are a little bit clever in that you think you have somewhat control over what you do, because you can, yes, you can decide. I'm only going to work from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I'm not going to do any hours after that. But during that 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., you have so little control maybe over how much money you make. Because if there are no requests coming in, you just can't make money, right? You're just waiting in your car and time passes.
So some of these factors that would eat into your income are like time spent for waiting for rides, the cost of driving back into busy areas, vehicle maintenance and insurance. These are the costs that the driver has to think about. And also at the same time, there is no sick leave and there's no holiday pay. This is just status quo, another day for gig workers, right? It's not easy for them. They have to plan a lot for this kind of thing. I think at the end of the day, this kind of thing is possibly just a stepping stone to something bigger. You can't do this kind of job personally. I mean, permanently. Okay, tell us what you think. WhatsApp us or tweet us. We're coming up to the news and after that, more discussion, especially on Malaysian toilets. And in the meantime, here's Garbage. Run, baby, run. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning with you. And that was the Electric Light Orchestra, Rock and Roll is King. Happy World Toilet Day. Do you know that toilet is the toilets or water closets are a pretty recent phenomenon. It used to be that if you wanted to go, you really had to go outside of your house to an outhouse, as it was called. And today, still a big swath of people in the world don't have access to proper functioning toilets. But in Malaysia, we don't have that problem. A lot of people have got access to such toilets, but we take a very short time to dirty it. Make our public toilets are smelly and extremely dirty. And apparently the record time to dirty a public toilet is 20 minutes.
I wish we would be world champions in something else other than being able to clean a toilet, to dirty a toilet in 20 minutes. Is this really a reflection of Malaysian society? How bad we are with our civic consciousness that we have no consideration for the people who clean the toilets and also for the other users? I mean, it's like we don't care, right? The super tida upper attitude.
Yeah, exactly. And if you just go and drive outstation, right? And I'm sure you've made those rest and relax pit stops.
You mean the Plus rest stops? Yeah,
yeah,
they're much better now.
I mean,
kudos to Plus. They have like a whole team of cleaners on site, and they're desperately trying to like mop every floor.
But every time you go in there, somebody is permanently stationed there to clean.
Yes.
So the cleaning goes on forever.
Yeah, why is that the case? Because if you use a rest stop in another country, and I've been to some, like even in Thailand, or even, of course, everyone's favorite Japan, toilets are generally spick and span. You don't have somebody standing there cleaning the toilets, mopping it every 5 minutes. So what?
So this is down to attitude, is it? Why are our toilets so dirty?
Yeah. Is it because we just, you know, when the pipes are constantly running, people don't switch it off. So hence, the floor is always wet. And then, you know, with the wet floor comes with the dirty shoes, then it's just gross, right? Yeah, you leave like, you know, dirty marks everywhere. And then the other thing I don't understand is like, can you throw your trash, your toilet paper trash into the bin, not on the floor? And this is the part where I don't understand. You need to pee, right? Pee in the toilet, not outside the toilet. You would assume that's a given, but no, it's not always a given in a Malaysian toilet.
This is like a morning run public service announcement, you know, how to use a good toilet on World Toilet Day. There are some countries in the world that have got like a maintenance-free toilet. They've gone green. For example, there's no flushing. You just throw some sawdust in after you're done. And a lot of the produce, if I can call it that, is used as compost. Is used as compost after a few months and the toilet is actually not bad smelling. How do you think, I mean, can Malaysia as a society move to those kind of green toilets?
I think if we can just move from a dirty toilet to a less dirty toilet, I would be happy. I'm not even sure we can get to the green toilet, Julian.
So what are some of the ideas that we can implement? For example, star ratings. In China, they have those toilet ratings, right? You know, dirty toilets in China is also a thing of the past, especially in the big cities. In the past where you go in there, it's terrible, but the government came up with a kind of toilet rating to encourage different toilets to aim for the five-star ratings. And a lot of the toilets are five-star rated right now. Perhaps that's something that Malaysia could have as well.
Yeah, we already see that happening at the toilets in KLIA, in all of the Malaysian airports run toilets, because that was a major complaint, right? You came off the plane or you were going to take a flight and you dreaded going to the toilet at the airport, which shouldn't be the case. Especially when you think for a lot of tourists, this is the first impression they have of Malaysia, is a gross toilet. And they just think, oh no, is this a sign of the entire vacation? I have to be mindful of going to the toilet, you know. I agree with the five-star rating. But I wonder what we can do to penalise the people who dirty the toilets. Is there a better way? Because it cannot just be focused on the constant cleaning, right? Something else has to be done. Is it educating kids at early stages in school? I don't know. Is there a better
maybe,
way?
Maybe a good way to do it is to just leave the toilets as is and then let the users suffer for it. And from that, maybe you can learn from that.
Oh, yeah, my
that could be a good
like
way to
torture.
Do it. Yeah. Torture always works. All right. Tell us what you think on this World Toilet Day, how we can keep Malaysia's public toilets clean. You can WhatsApp us or tweet us. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back with more after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the morning run, Julian and Xiaoning with you, and that was Dusty Springfield, I Only Want to Be With You. Xiaoning, do we have any social media responses coming in to comment on our talk on toilets and ways of saving money, not ordering the kind of food that you can make at home at the Mamak store?
Well, Mahendran has some tips about going to the Mamak. He says, don't order teh o kosong and pay $3. Just keep a tea sachet in the bag and order hot water.
I think that's sort of a tongue-in-cheek way of saying that he doesn't believe in the article, right? Because when you go out, you really have to spend on what I would term as social foods, social drinks and foods, right?
I mean, it's just part of being there and having a conversation with your
Correct.
Friends. And while you're there, you know, you order that invariable drink. But he does say if you go there, order the roti canai with sambal or nasi lemak because that's better value. Ro also weighs in on the food article, and he says that although he's sure food deliveries are now invaluable to families with dual hardworking parents, he does think that this service is someone breeding a new generation of laziness. So maybe he's saying, you know, go out there and cook, guys. Save some money that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a cheap, very cheap form of luxury, you know, to go to the Mamak and have a conversation with your friends. I think it's much cheaper than going to other forms of, you know, social places like going to an expensive bar or something.
That's true. But I mean, sometimes if you just need something simple, just make it at home. You know, you don't have to go to the Mamak or buy it from anywhere. Just cook a simple meal. Or just have like kaya toast.
All right. Ed has a suggestion for clean toilets. He says remove the bidet. Some people seem to wash the whole cubicle instead of the obvious. A wet toilet is more likely to get dirty easily. All right. So remove the bidet, but that would mean that you can't clean yourself properly.
I mean, this is something that Joan also said. He says remove the water hose inside each toilet cell and provide disposable toilet seat covers. That's one suggestion he makes.
Mm-hmm. A lot more work there, a lot more costs as well to maintain public toilets.
Yeah. Meanwhile, moving on to headlines, right?
Yes. So,
Malaysian Reserve has this headline saying Hong Kong buyers could snap 10,000 local homes over the next 6 months. I mean, this is on the back of course, all the protests going on in Hong Kong, which never seems to end and seems to have taken on a bit more of a violent tone. So, apparently, every week and Hong Kong buyers come in quietly and they purchase as many as 50 to 100 homes each time. Because I guess when you think about it in Hong Kong value, I mean, our houses are so cheap, right?
Cheap sale.
Yeah, 1 million ringgit, 2 million Hong Kong dollars. Doesn't even buy you a car park there, I guess.
Correct. The equivalent of what you can get in Hong Kong will be 8 to 10 million ringgit equivalent in those places. So our homes are really affordable here. And it's, a good way to clear a lot of overhang that exists, especially in the upper end sector.
Yeah. Another headline is ex-top leaders create history, face separate trials in a day. And this is, of course, with regards to Dato Sri Najib and Dato Sri Ahmad Zahid. They are both facing their respective trials at the KL Court Complex.
Right.
First time ever, right, for
Malaysia?
Yeah,
also read that Arokanda is now a prosecution witness. There must be some plea bargaining that's involved because the implications of this is that he would later, he can't be charged because he can't testify against himself, right? So perhaps some plea bargaining has gone on between Arokanda and our prosecution. On the front page of the Star, there is a KTM ticket chaos. The decision by KTMB to put on sale next 3 months' worth of train tickets backfired when its online ticketing system crashed and customers who visited the KL Central office also left fuming.
This surprises me. I always assumed that you could buy your tickets 3 months
You could. It's just that the system crashed on you.
No, I think this is a new thing. I think it's something they want to implement. And then in the process of implementing it this has resulted
in a lot of chaos and
yeah, I mean, we know that KTM is loss-making. If I'm not wrong, they've lost something like 700 million ringgit in the last few years. And there are attempts to kind of improve the service and make it a viable business. Because at the end of the day, it's a government entity, right? So taxpayers are subsidizing it. I mean, they were even introducing business class in KTM, which is great. But if you want people to really use it, then you need a reliable ticketing service. Because, like, you know, when you go to Europe or Japan, you can buy the tickets online easily and you know, you don't have to, you can plan your travel or your so easily. And why is this not the case here?
Yeah, as the tech people would call it, this UX, user experience and UI, user interaction is very important. Interestingly, on page 3 of the Star, watch out, Dr. M timepieces are a hoax. Dozens have been duped into ordering luxury items supposedly featuring the PM's signature. What will they think of next?
Top marks to there.
All right. We're coming up to the 7 a.m. news and after that we'll look into the major business news in detail, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, here's Australia by the Shins, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.